Welcome back to KSRN News. I'm your host, Nancy Cullen. Police are still baffled by the murder of Edward Crutchfield, although since his body was discovered about a week ago, there have been several major developments in the case. Police have determined the cause of death to be blunt force trauma to the back of his head, based on scans from his autopsy. He also sustained blunt force trauma to his legs. They have also pinpointed the time of death to be 1:39 a.m. August 16th. Police are encouraging anyone with information about this case to please call their hotline at 1-800...
From the kitchen in San Ramon, it's Pancake. One meal told week by week. I'm Laura Matthews. Solving a murder is like playing piano with your eyes closed. Impossible. But what happens when a murder takes place in your hometown? It becomes the burden of citizen journalists to solve it. That's what this season of Pancake is all about. But before I get any further into it, let me just address the big, scary elephant in the room. I know it'll be impossible for me to avoid the comparison of this second season to the incredible, amazing, monumental second season of Serial. I want to reassure my listeners that I'm going to do my best to somehow hold myself to that standard. So here's the case, or at least what we know so far. Edward Crutchfield, male, 34 years old. He lived with a woman who claimed to be his wife, and at least legally, it appears that she was. He was bearded, bespectacled, wore a lot of pastels, appears to be smiling in most of his yearbook portrait pictures. He taught 11th grade English, 10th grade history, coached JV baseball, and ran the school plays. Crutchfield was out running the night of August 15th, around 10:30 p.m. Police retraced his typical route and found what was left of his cell phone on a street called Soledad Sabe Court, which is just off the main through street, Raven Canyon Road. The phone was completely obliterated. It looks like it's been run over a few times. They found fragments of his phone case as far as 15 feet apart. Police are saying there's no hope of recovering any sort of data from it. And once they found the phone, they found scarce traces of blood on the sidewalk, using UV light. Police are saying that he was attacked with blows to his knees, lost his phone in the scuffle, and was abducted and taken to another location. The area he was running, it's a residential zone. It's not even that far from where I live. The blood traces are right in front of a house. You may very well be asking, so why didn't the people inside notice? Well, they were on vacation. They're not even back yet. And can I just say, why don't you leave the questions to the professionals, the cops, and leave the answers to the geniuses, the me? So here are some questions of mine. Did the kidnappers slash killers know these people were on vacation? How did they know Crutchfield was going to run that route that night? Did they know him at all, or was he in the wrong place at the wrong time? Does he have a secret twin? On Crutchfield's body, they found his Fitbit. It's a nicer model. It also monitors heart rate. And this is huge for the cops. They're calling it a direct link to what was going on with Crutchfield all that night. There's a spike around 10:50 p.m., and it's pretty clear that this was when he was attacked. It lines up with his pacing and where his phone was found. And the heart rate slowly decreases, but stays rather elevated until 1:39 a.m., when after a quick spike, drops to no data. And when they tested it for DNA, they only came back with one positive match. Humpback whale.
While the Fitbit does answer a lot of questions for the investigators, it doesn't answer where Crutchfield was taken from 10:50 p.m. to 1:39 a.m. It appears that Crutchfield had disabled location services on his fitness device, as it logs no data of that kind since he had purchased it. Aside from the Fitbit, he was found wearing a track jacket, a San Ramon High t-shirt, running shorts, and Nike Freeze.
Something immediately stands out to me. No underwear. That's not something everyone would pick up, but as a journalist, you're trained to notice little things like that. Was he trying to keep up his sperm count? Was he worried more about panty lines than chafing? Plus, everyone knows Nike Freeze are for low-impact training, like CrossFit in a gym or weightlifting, not running on cement. It would appear Edward Crutchfield was new to the world of running. Why would he pick up such an active hobby so late in his life? I needed answers that only the evidence could tell me. I needed to get access to everything Edward Cressfield was found with. I don't know if you remember from last season, but I had interactions with cops in the past. I hardly remember it myself, but according to my recordings and hospital bills, my last encounter ended with a 72-hour lockdown in the psych ward and a Thorazine drip. So eager to not make the same mistake twice, I was determined to minimize their involvement in my investigation and attempted to analyze the evidence without their knowledge or consent. Now, you're probably thinking, you can't just walk into your local police station. And you're right. But like so many things, it's actually a lot simpler than people make it out to be. In this case, I knew that all I would need to do is leave a raisin on the floor. Nothing is more distracting than a raisin. I mean, where to begin? Its wrinkled shape, its uncategorizable color, its palatable sense of evil and the wickedness of modern science? Have we gone too far? Ask a raisin. It will audibly answer you yes. I knew a raisin would distract them, just as it had on so many occasions distracted me. I spilled a bunch on the floor and shouted, "Hey, are those raisins?" and slipped down the corridor. I wasn't expecting much in the way of security, and I was right. I simply opened the door and there it all was. Dozens of lockers, each labeled with a case number. Since I wasn't privy to the police's special elitist code for their precious cases, I just started poking through them. I heard voices in an echoey chamber nearby and the sound of blasting water.
They must be delicing a new POW or something.
Using my journalistic instincts, I knew that since Cressfield was found rotting in the dead whale pit, the stinkier the evidence locker, the more likely I'd have found it.
God, this one smells awful. Let's see what we got. This one's just an old police academy shirt and some gym shorts.
Finally, I found one that checked a few boxes.
Okay. Oof. This one's about as ripe as yesterday's dashboard cheese. This has gotta be it. Okay, here's some freeze, okay? And what is, are these boxer briefs? Why would they purge these from the record? What dark secrets do you hold? Is this a baseball glove?
Hey! What the hell are you doing in here? Get away from my gym bag!
The detective put a towel on, then put me in handcuffs and dragged me into the interrogation room.
Why were you in our locker room?
I was looking for clues on the Cressfield case. Why do you have a baseball glove in your gym bag?
My son plays on this team at the high school. Get the fuck out of here asking me questions! Tell me, where were you on the night of the 15th?
I was where I go every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night.
I volunteer at the retirement home just down the street from my house. I run a book club for insomniac seniors called I Don't Want to Say Goodnight. We're currently reading a retelling of J.D. Salinger's classic coming-of-age novel called Catcher in the Eye.
So it's verifiable? You were there all night?
Ask anyone. Eleanor Dana, Grandma Luddington, Skip Coddington. They were all there. Ask the night staff, too.
He did. 20 minutes later, the detective, who I later found out is named Andrews, came back and uncuffed me.
Well, your story checks out. You were there all night, never left until your shift is over at 4 a.m. As for the locker room incident, Sarge says to let you just go on that one, but I recommend you get back on those meds you've been prescribed.
I'm pretty sure they're placebos, but I didn't want to spoil his moment. As soon as they let me go, I turned on my heel and marched right back in. I had some questions that needed answers.
Can you comment on ongoing investigations?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Not even a little? What's with the no underwear?
I just gotten out of the shower.
No, Cressfield.
He was wearing underwear.
Why would you leave that out of the report?
It's not relevant. That's personal information.
Well, it sounded a lot more strange when you specifically reported he wasn't wearing any.
We just didn't mention it. And I can't comment on that stuff anyway.
Can I say things that you can confirm or deny?
I mean, sure, I suppose.
Okay, the whale did it.
What?
I'll ask the questions around here.
But you just said that the whale was doing it.
Okay. All right, how about this? Edward Cressfield did it.
You're suggesting that Edward Cressfield hit himself on the back of the head with a baseball bat, then threw himself into a dead whale pit?
Exactly, yeah. Wait, it was a baseball bat?
Yeah. It'll be in the next press release, so I guess you'll have that as an exclusive until Nancy Cullen gets her copy. If you want to find out about the Crestfield case, tune in to Nancy Cullen on KSRN News. She gets all the reports around here.
I did. And now, you did too.
Police were baffled last night when over 250 raisins were found on the floor of the police station, spelling out the words, "Rehydration is nigh." Significance of this phrase is unknown. An investigation is underway.
There's something else I can't get out of my head. How did the cops end up with all of the evidence? And why would they need to keep the evidence locker so close to the showers? And how is it that the detective assigned to a case where the baseball bat is the murder weapon end up with a baseball glove in his bag? Stay tuned, listener. I'm on the case, and as long as I'm making pancake, I will find the batter.
Oh my god, I just got that!
Pancake is produced by Alex Richwood and myself. This episode was written and performed by me. Megan Matthews played Nancy Cullen. Blake Matthews played Detective Andrews. Alex Richwood is our freelance story consultant, providing invaluable feedback at little or no cost to me. Rocky Chavez did our theme music and is our sound tech, and any similarities to real life or historical persons or events is purely coincidental. Special thanks go to Raisins. Sun-kissed miss. Sun-kissed miss. Thanks, sun-kissed miss. She says don't be late, by the way.